verse 29 in Mark 1. And forthwith they were come out of the synagogue, and they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. We have here again a description of our Lord's life, his whole life on this earth. Every moment was taken up with doing good, real good, eternal good. It's interesting that when so many from the miracles that he did, so many begin to seek him, he said, let's move on. I need to be able to preach. That's what I came for. The healing, what a wonderful thing. What a glorious picture of his saving power. That he can heal the incurable. That he could even raise the dead and give them life. That's what he does spiritually. And that's a beautiful picture. But when it got to the point where all people just wanted miracles, he said, let's go to the next towns because I've got to preach. That's what I came for. The preaching of the gospel is what heals sinners. It's the truth of God from this book concerning his son and his effectual sin-cleansing blood. That's what really heals. And so he said, I got to go preach. But can you imagine when the Lord came, there's something especially precious about the Lord coming to Simon's house. And when Simon's mother-in-law was sick, the Lord healing her. But can you imagine, I thought about this, what if the Lord Jesus Christ came to your house? Vicky would be cleaning for a week before he came. But that's beside the point. But can you imagine that, though? The Son of God coming to your house. Simon opened his home to God's Son. And the truth of the matter is, that's something we do too, don't we? We open our home, we open our heart, we open our life. We wouldn't have any of that without him. Our Lord didn't have a place to lay his head in this world. You ever think about that? He was a master carpenter. You think there was ever a better carpenter than the Son of God? But he had nowhere to lay his head. Isn't that just amazing? This is why we see him so often in the homes of his disciples and their families in the scripture. In Luke 9:57, it says, And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. This is when the Lord comes where you are. This is what happens. Acts 16:11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You know, if you're listening to the preaching this morning, not just as a ritual, not just as a kind of a duty, but if you're attending to the things of God this morning, it's because the Lord opened your heart. That's how that happens. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Isn't that beautiful? Come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She wouldn't take no for an answer. God opened her heart and she opened her home. And when they got to Simon's house, notice what happened here back in our text. And imagine again that this is your home. You have any troubles in your home? Do you have any problems, any heartaches, any? You have a reason for the Son of God to come in and be in your house? Look what they did. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And it says in Luke's account of this that she was taken with a great fever. They probably thought she was a goner. And look what they did. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. What do you do when you don't know what to do? When you can't help, you making somebody comfortable, but you can't do anything about it. Whether it's yourself or somebody that you love, you're troubled, you're afflicted, you're sick, you're afraid, whatever it is, what do you do about it? Tell the Master. Tell him about it. That's what we got to do. What a privilege to be able to do that. That he would even be bothered with our problems at all. Oh boy. Didn't the Lord already know that she was sick? You reckon? You reckon before they even got anywhere near the house or was told anything, he knew before she was even sick that she'd be sick? And when? And why? But there's something precious and wonderful about this. Oh Lord, my mother is sick. My mother-in-law is sick. Will you come and visit her? Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Tell the Master about it. And he shall sustain thee. Nobody else can. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is there ever a time that you don't need Him? Anon. They anon told Him. What does anon mean? That's the word for the day, anon. It means straightway. They didn't hesitate. Immediately, forthwith, they told Him about it. Boy, I just got to believe if we have any idea who He is, that's what we'll do. You reckon? We'll tell Him. Whatever it is, we'll tell Him about it. Verse 31, and He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. She was kind of like Lydia, you know. The Lord did something for her, and then she wanted to do something for His people. Boy, that's our lives, isn't it? That's our lives. If I sat here and told you, just started think as far back as I could and just start telling you the things that y'all have done for me. I could never think of all of them for one thing, but we'd be here all day just talking about the stuff I remember. When the Lord does something for you, you want to do something for Him. And the way that happens is, what are we going to do for Him? He's the Son of God. When you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Thank God for that arrangement. What a blessed arrangement. Listen to Luke 4:39. These different accounts of this event. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto Him. And He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. He was just getting started with Simon's mother-in-law. Matthew 8:15, now listen to this. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. The greatest sickness of all, the sickness that is unto eternal death, the fever that burns in the blood of every man, woman, and child in this world, the leprosy of our sin. Our Lord has taken the sickness and infirmity, the sins of His people. He came to us when we were without strength, so sick that we couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't help ourselves, spent all we had, and we're only worse. And all He has to do is say the word. This is precious in this text too. It's precious that He came into their home, and knowing she was sick, He just waited and caused it. He enabled them to tell Him about it. It didn't have to happen that way. He could have told them before they got there, your mother-in-law's sick, Simon. Let's go do something about it. He did do that type of thing. But when they told Him, Lord. But listen to this too. When He came in there and she lay there sick of a great fever, He could have just said, be well. She would have been well, wouldn't she? But what did He do? He took her by the hand and lifted her up. He didn't have to do that. He could have healed her from the other side of the country, for that matter. That's not how he does it. That's not how he does it. It's not an impersonal thing. It's not a statistical thing. It's not a general thing. We tend to speak of the truth of Christ in general terms. Oh, I believe the doctrine of this. I believe the doctrine of that. The doctrine is a person. The truth of God is a person. It's not a statistical fact. I believe some doctrine too. But it's not just general teaching. It's not just a fact to put down in a book somewhere. The Lord healed me. It's personal. He did something for me. And I needed him desperately. I couldn't help myself. Talk about the doctrine of particular redemption. Well, let's get more particular than that. I believe he died for me. I believe he redeemed my soul from hell. That's how particular it is. He touched my hand and made me whole. And look at the power of his touch. They anon told him about it, and he anon healed her. Immediately she rose up. The completeness of the cure. She's got a great fever, and then the next minute she's cooking something for him. The uttermostness to which he saves. She not only wasn't feverish anymore, she felt like ministering. She felt like doing something for them. Sometimes even when I'm not sick, I don't feel like doing nothing. It's not that I'm sick, I'm just being lazy. But she was healed and was enthusiastic and kind and generous and ready. You know, when you've been sick a long time, it takes a long time to get over it, doesn't it? Even when you're not sick anymore, it takes a long time. The fever breaks, and then I'm still weak for 2 or 3 days sometimes. Not when the Lord touches your hand. It's immediate. Are you sick this morning? Do you know somebody that is? Tell the Master about it. I mean that. I don't mean just agree with that. Do it. Talk to him about it tonight, this afternoon. I pray that I can do that. He is the Lord that healeth thee. And learn this from this dear lady. Everyone who is healed of the Lord, everyone is a minister. 1 Corinthians 16:15, you remember this verse. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. There's a lot of help necessary. There's a lot of labor necessary in there in the ministry of the Lord. And boy, he provides that in the form of each other. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. I believe if the Lord's done something for you, the more he's done for you, the more addicted you're going to be, aren't you? He that's forgiven much loveth much. Why didn't the Lord just make a meal for them out of thin air? He could have done that if they were hungry. No. He let them tell him about her, about her being sick. He took her by the hand, and then he let her minister unto them. That's how the Lord does things now. When we minister, that's not us doing something. How many times have we said that? And we know that's right. That's him doing something for us. What an honor, what a privilege to minister to the Lord through his people. minister to them. When the 5,000 were hungry out in the desert, he just made some food. Why didn't he do that at Simon's house? He wasn't above that. He washed his disciples' feet. And I know the answer to this. Our Lord gives us the blessed privilege of ministering in his ministry. It's his ministry. We don't talk about my ministry or somebody else's ministry. All of it is his ministry. For his gospel to go forth, there's going to need to be some ministering done. All manner of ministering. Vacuuming the floors is a ministry. It's all a ministry, isn't it? Just being an encouragement to people. That's a ministry. Just not messing things up is a ministry. Because that's what we do, wouldn't we? The Lord made his disciples fishers of men. If there's going to be some fishing done, that you're going to have to mend your nets every once in a while, aren't you? The deck's got to be swabbed. The sails are going to have to be mended. There's work. There's labor. He talks about it, the analogy again of a farm. That's some of the hardest work there is. That's not a coincidence. That's not just incidental that it's mentioned that those things are used. So what all did she do? Well, she probably cooked them a meal. Did she wash their feet? That was a common custom then, that to minister unto people that were in your home. Did she wash their clothes for them? Did she sew up some of their, I've got a hole in my shirt. She sewed that up or whatever. Maybe put some medicine on some attended to some injury that one of them had or whatever, We tend to think, because religion is so wrong about everything, man left to themselves are religious and absolutely idiotic. You know that. That's us by nature. It's just what we are. And they've talked so much and indoctrinated so much people about the ministry. The ministry. It's all about building buildings and going way across the world. No. You remember old Dorcas, don't you? She was full of good works. What do you mean, Lord? She made coats for those that she loved. It doesn't talk about her traveling to darkest Africa or something. She did what she could. Isn't that what the Lord teaches in this book? She did what she could. I don't know what the specifics were on this case. May God give us grace to do what we can. Not to gain favor with him. Christ is our favor with God. Not doing good works to establish our own righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And because of that, we want to do something. Whatever the Lord will enable us to do. Verse 32, back in our text, and at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. These are the ones that our Lord heals. Can you imagine this scene? I guess he was out in the front yard maybe at Simon's house. He sat down and they just started bringing everybody. They heard about his miracle working power and all these lost causes. He didn't go around healing people of things that you just get over, right? The flu. He didn't just make your flu go away. That would happen eventually anyway, probably. But it would be him that did it, right? If you don't die of it, it was him that healed you. And if you do die of it, that was him too. But I'm talking about his miraculous power. It was lost causes. It was the incurable because it's a picture of our nature, our sin nature. We can't do anything about it. But imagine this scene where just miserable, wretched people are coming sick and demon-possessed. He cast out many demons and healed many that were sick. Lepers were coming and people that were just diseased or injured very badly and things like that. Can you picture that? And he would touch them. He touched them, it says. Would you touch a leper? Let me ask you this. Is it amazing to you that the Son of God would touch a sinner? The holy, perfect, spotless Son of God would lay hold of a sinner? Simon was embarrassed to have the Lord wash his feet. That's nothing. If we knew what sin was and the Lord came to touch us. Simon at one time said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a wicked man. I'm full of sin. You shouldn't have anything to do with me." That's the truth. But that's who he has something to do with. Oh, boy. The Lord Jesus Christ hugs a vile, wretched, diseased sinner to his bosom and carries us in his arms. Carries us to the end. Pays our way. The Lord didn't permit the devils, these devils, to speak, though they knew who he was. Why not? Wouldn't that be testimony to who he was? If they, you know, those ones devils said, acknowledged him as the Son of God. Those ones where he went to the madman of Gadara. The one in the synagogue said, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." So wouldn't it have been good in some way to allow them to speak? But the Lord told them to shut up. He wouldn't let them speak. Why do you think he did that? Well, here's what I know. I don't want to speculate about that, but I know this. He has given us his sheep the privilege of witnessing of him. The devils know who he is, and we know who he is. But he gives us the joy, the privilege, the right to speak about him, to tell others who he is. The devils could probably state some pretty impressive facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. They know him in a sense, but they don't know him. Not in a saving way. False preachers can state facts, but they can't preach the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't know him. Even an angel can't talk about what we can talk about. They don't know that much about forgiveness of sin because they've never experienced it. Who but a sinner can speak of him and his sovereign mercy? Who can testify to the fact that he's forgiven us of all of our sins except sinners like us? And I know this may sound trite, talking about this, because religion, again, they misuse things so much and talk about things they don't know anything about. But think beyond that this morning and answer this question in your heart. Forget about everything else for just a second and answer this question in your heart. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Have you experienced his saving love and mercy? Has he had mercy on you? I didn't ask you, do you believe the Lord has mercy on sinners? Has he had mercy on you? I didn't say, do you believe in limited atonement? Has he given himself for your sins? I didn't ask you, does he love everybody? I'm asking you, does he love you? Do you know him whom to know is life eternal? And then let me ask you this, because of what we've been talking about. We have the privilege of speaking of him. And we're the only ones that do. If you do know him, if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do love him, you know it's because he loved you first. Then if you don't tell those that you love about him, who's going to do that? Who in this world is going to do that? I think about that sometimes. It's not easy to do. There are those that I love that don't want to hear anything from me, much less about the Lord. And I may or may not ever have an opportunity. But think about that. If we don't tell them, who's going to? Nobody else even can if they wanted to. Except his sheep. Think what a privilege we have to be stewards of the grace of God. What a privilege. Turn with me in closing to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. First Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Boy, watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. One of the things I realize more and more as I preach is that there is agreement with these things. Boy, yeah, we need to do that. And then there's doing it. There's actually praying. We all know we need to, we ought to, we should. It's a great privilege. How much do you pray, though? How much do I pray? Get on my knees before God and ask him for all that we need and thank him for all of his tender mercies. And love one another. Love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, think about who we know and why. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, when you do say something for God, let it be God talking and not you. Let it be what he said, not what you think. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Why did he say that way? Because when we minister, we tend to think we're doing something. The ability that God giveth. Remember that if you're ever privileged enough to actually do something for somebody. That God in all things may be glorified. Not us. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray.